This is Michael Gannot with the Middle East Research Center Limited, bringing you insight to Israel, the truth about the greatness of the Jewish state and its struggle for sovereignty and security, every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
This is Michael Gannot with the Middle East Research Center Limited, and this is Insight to Israel, brought to you by America's Web Radio. I want to say thank you to the guys at America's Web Radio for bridging the gap, being the voice of the American people, of the right wing, of the patriot conservatives that believe in the principles of the Constitution. I want to say thank you to them for taking a stand, and thank you to them for airing Insight to Israel, brought to you every Sunday. It is another beautiful day in the Jewish state, and every day that I am here, my life just gets better and better. And I mean that on the basis that I get to meet some of the finest people that I'll ever come across in my life. And I have come across some great Americans. I've been blessed. I've been surrounded by them. I associate with them. I make them my acquaintance. I make them my friends. And that was in the United States. But I've been in this Jewish state for 8 months now. And in 8 months, God, I have to say, I have to acknowledge in voice that God has blessed me to come across some of the finest people that are patriots of the Jewish state, that are willing, even if they're not in the military, to sacrifice their time, their energy. And it's not a sacrifice if you do it willingly. It's your due service. But I'm here with you got something on your mind. I'm here with a gentleman that I was introduced to by Roy Peled, who we interviewed last week, who was in Duv Divan, the Special Forces of the Army. Roy, if you're listening, thank you for that great interview. People, Americans loved it. But I'm here, and I'm just going to, he's got a last name, but I kind of like just sticking with the first name.
Shuki Cohen.
I'm here with Shuki Cohen, and I just met Shuki today. I heard a lot about him, and Shuki lives in Ra'anana. I'm gonna get that. Which is north of Tel Aviv?
No, 20 minutes by car from Tel Aviv.
20 minutes by car. You live in a fantastic town. It's beautiful. Thank you for taking me around.
You're welcome.
And thank you for having me in your home.
You're always welcome.
It's been fantastic. There's a lot of things I wouldn't know where to begin. A lot of Israelis, I just don't know where to begin because their lives are so amazing.
Begin in the beginning.
Shuki. I apologize.
It doesn't matter.
I'm glad you're not that shallow. You do a lot of work with the military. With the young.
With young people, with the lonely soldiers.
The lone soldiers, they're fantastic. Now, let me just say this as a side note, real quick. For anyone who doesn't know what a lone soldier is someone who comes, a young person, male or female, that comes from around the world, leaves their friends and their family behind, and comes here to serve in the military.
Yes, exactly.
That takes guts. That takes principle.
Yes.
Character and integrity.
Yes. It's more than guts. It's much more than that.
It's something that's instilled in them in their home.
Something to believe. Something that they believe in.
Yeah. So, tell us a little bit, because we're going to get to the big picture of the work that you do, but tell us a little bit about what you do with them, with a lot of the soldiers.
Oh, it's a long story.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And to do it shortly, we take for them for everything. We become their parents, their friends, their wall to hear all what they want to say, and nobody can listen. Their parents far away, and we have to take care from them. We fix for them where to live, where to stay in the holidays, all what they need, furniture.
Shabbat.
In Shabbat, of course. In holidays, Chagim, what we call, and of course, all usually in the days when they are coming home, they are not in, when they are in the army, they don't need for mass nothing, only to that they can know that somebody is waiting for them, somebody is there for them. But when they are going to holiday, they need furniture, they need where to stay, houses, electric equipment, washing machine, for example, air conditioners, microwave, everything. And they know all wait what they need. Even before they know that they need it, we prepare for them.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's a great way of putting them, because you're there when they don't realize.
Yes, we're there for them. That's what wrote on my card. If you see my card, I wrote to a soldier, if you miss something, if you are in a problem, if you only just want to talk, we are here for you. That's what I wrote on my, it's in Hebrew, but...
Ken, wow. That's great. That's great stuff. You know, I've learned so much just in, since I've been with you since this afternoon. It's like 3 o'clock now, and I met up with you around 11. And I wouldn't even know, I can only say thank you, because I've just learned so much. I want to start out by asking you, first of all, you were born and raised here.
Yes, my mother was born here.
Your mother was born here. Now, where is your father from?
My father is from Romania.
Romania?
Yeah.
Te iubesc Romania foarte mult. Yeah, I spent a year there teaching school. Wow, I'm surprised we didn't get to that part. Wow. Wow, lived in Cluj-Napoca.
Yeah.
Wow, fantastic. So how did your father end up coming to Israel from Romania?
He came, was 7 years old, something like that.
Wow. Wow. Now, for people listening, I said I love Romania very much. And Romania, out of all the countries I've been to, is second on my list of loves.
It's a nice country. They're very, very kindly people.
They are. They're wonderful. They treated me.
Usually it's not the country. Usually it's the people there. Each country. If the people are nice and good, the country is good and nice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. That's fantastic. So how did your father get here? What brought him to Israel from Romania?
My grandfather, he understand what is going to come. So they leave Europe and they come to Israel.
He could see in the future.
Yeah.
I think if a man has a little wisdom, he doesn't have to be book smart, he doesn't have to be a PhD.
No, it's a living smart. It's to be smart of the living.
Life experiences.
Yes, life experiences, yeah. Yes.
In cities they call it street smart.
Yes.
Yeah, wow. That's it's amazing, because I was telling you about the Paul Mock, the guy in the Paul Mock that I interviewed. A rabbi came from nowhere, came from Europe to Yemen, and said, "You must leave now. Go to Israel. Go to Israel." And they're like, "Well, we're not very religious." It does not matter. Go home. Go back to the Jewish state. It's fascinating.
Yes.
So, and now you said your father passed away a few months ago.
Yes, 5 months ago.
Wow.
A little, 6 months ago.
Yeah. Now, I don't. Let me ask you, just for a frame of reference, how old are you?
I'm 57.
57.
Day after tomorrow.
Very nice. Nice. Happy birthday to you. So your father comes here. How'd your parents meet?
How they met? I think in Forsaba. My mother used to work in the same place that he worked. He was a mechanical in the packing houses.
He worked in a packing
Orange,
house?
Yes, in the packing house of Orange. And they met there.
Very nice. And then they fell in love. And how many children in your family?
We have two brothers.
Two brothers.
Me and my brother is younger than me, 9 years.
Wow. Wow. So your parents met, got married. They have you and your brother. Is your brother?
My brother is living not far away from here. It's another town, Hod HaSharon.
Okay.
In the same area.
And you were born and raised where?
In Forsaba.
Okay.
Forsaba. It's my hometown. I'm dreaming in Forsaba, you to say. I'm dreaming like in Forsaba.
Nice. So when did you come? When did you actually come to
Ranana. Look, when I meet my wife, it's a confirmation between me and my wife. She's from Givatayim. It's very near to Tel Aviv.
Okay.
And I'm from Kfar Saba. So we decided to live in Ranana. It's something in the middle.
Right, right. So tell me, how did you meet your wife?
Oh, I finished the army, and I go to a trip like every soldier made. And after 3 months in Europe, I come back. I have a girlfriend. She was a girlfriend of my wife. And I come just in my wife's birthday. So my girlfriend said, I have a girlfriend that today I have a birthday. Let's say to wish her good luck. I said, okay. And we go there and I see her. And 6 months after that, we was married.
Oh, wow. You can't do that in the States. You got to do background checks now. Credit checks, background checks.
My background, it's good.
No, exactly. But you know,
my wife is a Polish. Her mother was a Polish. So if they married me and they accepted, it's okay. I have a good background.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, you know, and those were what year was that when you got married?
1979.
Wow, in 79, I was 9 years old. Wow, how old were you? Okay, because I'm 42, so. So, okay, so you were what, 8?
We are married something like 35 years.
Wow. That's
amazing. And we are still love and we are still friends.
No, that's fantastic.
This is the most important thing.
That is the most important thing. That's fantastic. That's great. Yeah, well, I say that because back in, and I don't want to say in your day to make you sound so old, because you're not.
I feel like 35.
No, exactly.
30.
But, you know, realistically, 20, 30 years ago, people didn't have the problems that they have today.
Look, the world was changing very quickly.
Very quickly.
In the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Every day, it's another day. It's not like in the past. It's not like 30 years ago. Usually, let's say 35 years ago, you get married in the age of 24, 25. Today, it's not before 32, 34, 35. Yes, people, they don't used to live together before marriage. Today, my daughter now is living with her boyfriend in Tel Aviv.
Right.
So, okay, this is the world.
Yeah.
It's going changing every time.
Yeah, it doesn't always mean the change is good, but you can't make people do the right thing.
Yeah, okay.
You can only be an influence, you know? Yeah, it's funny.
It's everything a point of view.
Right. I don't want to go too far down this path, but I will say many times we hear people say, well, it's just because things haven't changed. It's just that, you know, it's a different generation looking back. Things weren't that much better. But I believe differently. I think that they were. I think we had people with more integrity and more character, more honesty. I'm thankful because in this country, look, no one's perfect. I've been accused of saying that Israel's perfect, and we all know it's not. It's, you know, I was born and raised in the United States. I actually wrote a poem called America, My Mother, and Israel, My Bride. And I say that with regard to the fact that I know things are not perfect here, but I can still see that, which I can't see in the U.S., and I would challenge anyone to show me, even in the small towns. I come from a small town. I still see a great deal of innocence here, of small children even being able to walk, grammar school, walking down the street in packs together. You, even in my small town, you can't find that, because there's that fear of criminals, of child molesters. And here, it changed me. It's changed it's given me a new, a love.
I told you about my friend from Italy that his mother didn't let him come to Israel.
Yeah.
And when he came, he didn't want to go back. Okay, that's what we have here. We are, there is security, there is everything here.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, okay, so you got married, you met your wife, and fell in love, and you're still in love, and that's, God bless you, that's, there's some folks can't say that, with conviction, you know. So you have...
I'm proud of this. Believe me.
No, I'm very... as someone who was married before, it's...
I'm saying that you have to have two likes in your life. Right. One when you're born, second when you get married.
No. That's awesome. So you have a son and a daughter.
Yes.
Your daughters. This is amazing. I want to say this before you say it. Your daughter went to the military, went to college. Now she's back in the military working in intelligence.
Yes.
I respect that. I respect that. That says something about a parent.
I say, okay, as I told you in the beginning, his roots.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And now your son, he served in the military. He's an accountant now. He's living in Las Vegas right now.
Yes.
So, and you said he's dating a young lady actually in the military, serving the military.
Yes, his girlfriend is in the military, also in intelligence.
Oh, wow, nice. So your son's been in the States for how many months, did you say? 11 months?
11 months.
11 months. Good. I'm sure you miss him. You talked about probably seeing him soon.
Yeah, I think in January
yeah.
Come back.
I've been going 8 months. My mother's coming in October. So I miss my... You know what? And I think you can say the same thing. I traveled to other countries and taught school, and I didn't have the internet. I didn't have the cell phone to pick up and call whenever I wanted. It was in Romania. It was very difficult.
Okay, today you have the Skype. My wife talks with him every night. And
wow.
No problem.
It's fantastic. So, okay, you have this life. How have you seen Israel? It's amazing what's been done here in 65 years. So you've got to see a lot of this change.
Yes, I see a lot of this change, and also my mother, my grandfather, I didn't know my grandfather, that my name is on his name, Jeshua, and from this my nickname is Shuki. But I know the stories. I know the building that my mother was born there, and he was with a hole of bullets from Harab Kfar Saba, where the Arabs was in...
where the Arabs were.
Were in 48.
Wow.
And I know all the stories. And I read from my mother, I read from my grandmother. So this is something that I say that I know what we are, and I know what we are, as what we was, not what we are now.
Yeah.
And I see the difference. It's unbelievable. 65 years, it's amazing.
I go through, I lived in Jerusalem for 7 months, and it's amazing. The history there, the people there have just been, all over this country, they've been fantastic. I love the people here. They have treated me like, I can't say it enough. They've been so good to me, like my extended family. And I miss my family, but all I have to do sometimes is get on the bus and talk to someone, and we just click like that.
No, you can knock in the door of your neighbors. There's something that you cannot do it in the United States.
Right.
And immediately, okay, let's see. Let's open a table. Let's sit together. No problem. This is Israel. This is a Jewish. This is Israelians, yes?
So what's it been like? Because I've been in Tel Aviv and Ramat Gan for like a month. What was it like seeing these buildings go up? First of all, I want to say thank you to the Jewish people and to you, since you're a representative. Thank you for the cherry tomato that I eat on my salad. Thank you for that.
It's not on the cherry tomatoes. There is some...
The seedless watermelon.
There's a lot of...
so much. I like to narrow it down to that because I like cherry tomatoes. So what was it like for you to see all of this go up and just watch it?
Look, you must understand that the world, it's not standing in one place. It's
right.
Going on and on and on. The question is if you can put yourself in a position that you can go on with the world, and you can do nothing against it, so go with it.
Right.
That's the way that I see it.
Right.
It's okay for me. If I want to go to live in a big building, okay, I will pass to Tel Aviv. You see my house, you see my garden.
You have a beautiful...
You see my dogs.
Yeah.
My fishes. So I good here. Good for me here. I'm living here.
Can.
If somebody want to pass to Tel Aviv, we will pass to Tel Aviv. You can find in Israel all kinds, all way of living. And this is what the important thing, the good things in Israel.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing because I was on Matula And I took a picture, and I actually, what's funny is I posted on Facebook, and I said, Batula, which means virgin.
And I, but you know what? You know what? Metula is it's still a virgin area.
Yeah.
It's Betula.
Yeah.
It's a virgin area. You cannot see there a big building. You
right.
cannot see there, let's say, big restaurants. You cannot see there...
Development.
In the evening, 9 o'clock.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful, but it's silence.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Betula.
And I can see, with my left eye, I could see Mount Hermon. Okay. White, snow-capped mountain.
Okay, it takes 3 hours from there, and you are in the beach in Eilat. This is Israel.
Yeah, and the thing that was key to me was, being there, I could see Mount Hermon with one eye and the Mediterranean with the other.
The other eye, yes.
And then I could look in front of me and see all the way into, like, Nazareth, and I can't remember exactly how everything goes, but...
Israel is a small country.
But it's amazing. Again, we come back to it's amazing what the Jewish people have done here. What no other country, not only in the world, but in the Middle East has done.
Yeah. Look, I don't know. We are the chosen people. The chosen.
I believe that.
Maybe there is something on this world.
I believe so. I wouldn't be here. Hey, because where Hashem is, I want to be, you know. And when I see the great... I've seen the injustice done to the Jewish people, and for nothing. And I've seen it with my own eyes. I always knew it, but to see it firsthand. But then to see the kindness that you continue to extend while defending yourself, while standing up for yourself, yeah. is amazing. You help your enemies who, when they're wounded... You
Look, now in Syria, there are Arabs killing Arabs. It's not the first time.
Can I clarify?
Muslim killing Christians. Muslim killing their brothers.
Right.
And nobody helped them. We helped them. Look, in the other side of the world, earthquakes, a building falling down, Israel sending airplanes with soldiers to help them. Turkey.
Yeah,
we made it.
Turkey, yeah.
Not only in Turkey, all over the world.
Yeah, Haiti.
Okay, this is the way that we believe that people must live.
Right.
We don't hate the Arabs. Look, in Syria now, we are taking people that wanted to our hospitals. In Gaza, when children are healed, they are coming to Israeli hospitals. Nobody pay for this.
Right.
We are paying for
right.
this.
Right, absolutely.
And if you will ask us, are you accepted this? Yes, because this is the meaning of life.
60% of the electric and water that goes into the Gaza comes from Ashkelon for free.
And they are sending missiles to bomb the electricity in the electric station in Ashkelon.
It doesn't even make sense. So, okay, so here we go, moving forward. You create a life for yourself. Before all of this, you showed me a date right back here on one of your plaques, 1998, I think it was.
Yes.
Before that, what did you do? Because there's a foundation to all this. Of course, it started with your family. And
I don't know. I was a simple people that... Getting in the morning, going to work,
right.
made his job. I used to help people all the time, but let's say in a very low volume, small volume.
Like a lot of people,
yes.
which is satisfactory and good. And
one day, my son became an officer in the army, in Golani.
Which is the special forces.
Yes, I was very proud. And I didn't sleep a lot of nights.
I'm sure.
I feel every time that he was over the border, I feel it. I didn't sleep that night. I tried to phone to him in the morning. And after a few hours, when I get him, I said, okay, Omer, what happened? So open the radio, you will hear what I done, where I was.
Wow.
And when he come, an officer, he learned that there is a lot of people that they don't have everything, that they missed a few things. They need it. And
they need supplies.
And what he learned at home, that This is something that I used to hear from my father. When you see someone in the water, you can do two things. Oh, go to the side and don't look. Oh, help him to go out from
the water. If they're drowning.
Don't put your legs on his head and send him down.
Yeah.
Don't do it, ever. And I think that my son only learned that, help him, give your hands and take him out. And from that moment, he came to me and said, okay, Daddy, I have four soldiers that they don't have even clothes when they go to vacation from the army. So I prepare for them, and I go to a friend of mine, he has a shop, I take clothes and I bring it to him. And then he's come to me and said, we finish a very hard time in Lebanon, please fix for us a day for fun in the pool. And I said, okay, I fix for them with catering, with everything. During this day, you know, in each unit in Israel, there is a soldier, a female, that he's taking care for the soldier, all what they need. And she came to me and said, you know, Shuki, we have a soldier, a long soldier from Ukraine. He's finishing
from the Ukraine.
Now 6 months of training, and he's was the best soldier. He's going a medal now. And he didn't see his mother over a year, year and a half.
Over a year and a half, wow.
Please bring her to this ceremony.
All the way from the Ukraine.
I said, okay, and I bring her. And it was...
I saw the pictures.
You cannot imagine what happened when a mother and son reunion, like the word of the song of Paul and Simon.
Yeah.
And, but it's something unbelievable. You cannot, there isn't, in this occasion, left any dry eye.
Dry eye, yeah. Yeah. No.
And from that moment, I think that moment, I understand that that's what I'm going to make, at least in the next 20, 30, 40. I don't know how God will give me life, good life to, and force to do it. I will do it. I will help soldiers. And from there, after that, I start to help families of soldiers. Because, you know, in Israel, there is two kind of lonely soldier. There is the one that he don't have anybody from his family in Israel. And second is a soldier that he have a family, but the economical situation is so bad that the army, and still he is a good soldier.
Right.
The army said, okay, for us, you are like a lonely soldier, and help him in many ways. So that's what I'm doing in the last 12 years.
Wow.
At least 12 years. And you see, every day, every 2 days, I get and fax from another officer in the army said, Shuki, I need you to help me with this soldier. I need you to help me with that problem. Sometimes I said, okay, we want to make a celebration because we are finishing the season of turning. And I said, okay, I never said, you speak with the...
Yeah.
I said, it's in the evening, in the morning, in the middle of the night. Shuki, no, never said no. And we help them, and we give all what they need.
Wow. Well, I tell you, listen, I want to get into the depth of that because I've been, I love the military. I come from a military family, and I respect and appreciate what you do. And I get to hang out with these soldiers, and I love them. I'm so much more so coming from you because your son was in the military. This is your country. But I'm thankful for what you do. Listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. And we're going to finish up here because I want to go into depth as far as what you do. All right? This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel. And we're with... I'm going to get it right. Shuki.
Shuki.
Shuki. Shuki.
Shuki.
Shuki. Shuki with a K. Okay. Shuki, we'll be right back. Thank you.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
And we're back. This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel in the Middle East Research Center Limited, brought to you by America's Web Radio. And again, we are here in Ra'anana.
Yes.
With Shuki. Did I say it right?
That's right.
And I want to say thank you for bringing me to the best restaurant with the best hummus.
Hummus.
And falafel. And wow, I'm full. Great stuff. And thank you for the hospitality that you've shown me today. I appreciate it. And so we were talking about, we talked a little bit about your background, how you met your wife, and then your son and your daughter in the military. Proud of them. And so I want to get into a little deeper about what you, how you help the lone soldiers, and then soldiers who may not come from a background that provides them with a lot. It's very, look, you know, I've put pictures up on Facebook of Tel Aviv and, you know, how Israel leads the way in all of these areas, but it's very tough to live here. It's expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive. It's very hard to get the money. As my father used to say, 20, 30 years ago, the bread, you eat only bread, but the bread was a little bit sweeter than what you eat today. But it's not like this. Look, Israel, I say that Israel become a country like all the other countries in the world. And in all the world, it's not so easy to
live.
And here, I think that only because of this, when a soldier coming to Israel, a young boy come to Israel, leaving his house, his parents, his friends, and he's alone, and with the small salary that he gets from the IDF, then this is the real reason why we must to help him.
Right.
Must to let him feel that he's not alone, let him feel that all what he needs, there is somebody for him to help him and to give it to them. And that's what, I think that's what we are doing. We are giving him the feeling that we want him here.
Absolutely.
His house, that is his country, his home. And we become like the parents, like the brothers for them.
That's great stuff.
It's more than the materials.
Right.
Look, you see the letters that I get from soldiers.
Right.
And what they write to me, there, it's not because you are giving to us furnitures and food and all what we need. It's because you are putting in our heart, in our mind, the feeling that here, the people here, you want us.
Yeah.
That you love us. And this is more important than us, than another microwave or another tape or another things like this.
It's about attitude.
Yeah.
It's about attitude.
Exactly.
And I have to tell you, today is another example of Jewish greatness that I've experienced, not only from the Maccabean Games and everybody's been, I can't say enough, I feel like sometimes, honestly, I'm not a soldier, I wish I could join. Shugi, I would join them in a second and fight with them. They're the best. As a 42-year-old man, I would take orders from a 19-year-old because I have confidence in them. And in spite of the fact I'm not in the military, I have been so blessed since I've been here every day. And if I could somehow continue, even through interviews like this, to show the American people the heart of the Jewish people, in spite of everything, all the odds that are against them, they still produce attitude, good attitude, love, and generosity and kindness. And it can't be said enough. You know, we had this, we talked about this earlier in the first half. You said something about being the chosen ones. I've never had a Jew look at me and say, I am one of the chosen, with an attitude, with a bad attitude. I am one of the chosen ones. I've never heard that before, with a bad attitude.
And you will not.
I won't. But what I have heard is, I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. And that, having never been here until I arrived back in October, hearing that and then spending time with the people here, it has turned my life inside out. Like I can never describe as someone who's not Jewish, you know? So I want to say, I can't say enough, thank you. But so you started on this road when? What was it? I think you showed me your... The one on your wall, were like 1998?
But it was in a small volume. It's become more and more, as I told you, when my son became an officer in the army. And for that moment, I think he volunteered me. That's what he done, yes.
So so it started with there was a soldier that needed a little help. And
yes. We start with this, that he needed help, and then he asked me to make him the fun day, next day in the swimming pool. And then he asked me to bring the mother of the soldier. And then the high commander come to see who is the man, bring the mother. And from that point said, okay, from now, you are the chief of Golani. You are with Golani, and from Golani, they are about me in Hanim and Givati and Kfir and Shivyon, Tel Aviv, and my name and my phone number pass to all the officers, to all the soldiers that taking care for soldiers in the army, and it's become something like a big company. Now it's like a big company.
And it's all volunteer. And it's about...
All volunteer. Nobody's getting salary, paying for telephone, paying for gas. Everything is volunteer, full volunteer.
Wow. And it's, it takes a special person to be able to bring people together to get a job done.
Yes, that's what I told you in the beginning.
Yeah.
To be a good manager is to know how to manage people, how to let the people to do what he wants without to say it anything.
Just show a need and they'll fill it, but you have to show it to them.
Okay.
And wow, that's fantastic. So you and I talked a little bit about your relationship with your wife. And, you know, from looking in your office, you've got all these records. I asked you if you've got record after record, year after year of everything that's been accomplished, not just from the work that you do, but from your business. And I asked you, I said, did your wife help you with that? No, I did all.
My wife helped me when I need from her something to do. She helped me, and she never said no. If I don't have to be afraid to invite the people to sleep with us, I don't a soldier to my home. I don't have to ask her. She will agree immediately. But she know there is a rule: nobody touch my papers, nobody touch my files, because if they will touch, I will not find the things that I want,
right,
that I need.
Right.
When I put something in some place, I will remember that I put it there. And, no, look, this, my wife and me, we are friends.
How long have you been married?
35 years.
35 years, wow.
Everything is wrote in her name. The house, the cars, the account in the bank. I'm laughing. I said, if, you know, when a couple divorce, a man have to pay to his wife and to the children money every month. And all the time I left, if we will divorce, she will have to pay to me because everything is in her name. But
Well, I'm glad you stayed married as long as you have, and there obviously has to be a unity in your home for you to be run your business and then do everything you do for the soldiers. And your wife works also.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes that unity. You know, in the Bible, Adam and Eve, Eve was made from the side, from the rib of Adam. Not from above and not from below.
You know what they said about it? He took for us the rib and bring us problems. No, I'm laughing.
No, I know you are. So what type of role does your wife, because she's got a job and she takes, your house is very clean and you have a beautiful home. What type of role does she play in? Ken.
It's my wife.
It's your wife. That's good.
No, we are just talking about you, Dalia. Ken, Daddy. Hi.
So Shugi is talking to his wife right now, and I will say he's been talking to some military officials, and they're gonna take me up to.
You see, my wife is in the way to here. You can ask.
Nice. We'd love to have her join. He's gonna take me to the Egyptian border, to the Golan. So it'll be a great experience. Well, so your wife's going to join us?
Yes.
Great. We'd love to have her say hello. So what was the last... Because I've seen all the pictures. You have them in your home, the soldiers in your home. The food and the toilet paper. I saw the food drives and stuff you have at the grocery store where people can drop things in. And that was fantastic. Is that an ongoing thing? Like if an American, which we went to the home for the retired people, the older folks, a lot of them, some of them were in the Holocaust, some of them in the Palmach or in the Haganah, they make crafts. They make little things for the soldiers to sell. You have a bazaar.
Yeah.
Which...
No. Look, they are making it, first of all, to pass the day.
Again.
And we are looking for the benefit of this.
Right.
First of all, that they will be nice for them. They will have a good day, good life in the end of their life. And if we can take from this some benefit, like to sell it, to get the money, and to buy all what the lone soldier need, it's more than...
It is. It's a double blessing.
Yes, it's a double blessing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And meeting some of those people, and they're... Of course, this is going to be in a video that I'm going to put together.
They feel good.
Yeah.
They feel, okay, I'm still something. I'm still doing something that helps to others. I'm not unused.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And you've taken me around. You showed me a park for handicapped
children. Yes. This is... I don't know if you can find it in some other countries in the world that people making, especially in Israel, we are very much taking care for handicaps, wounded people, because even maybe you lie because we have wounded from the war a lot of things, and maybe I don't know if this is the reason, but you can find in Israel a lot of thinking about how to make the life easier for people that, unfortunately, the life for them, it's not so easy.
Right.
I think this is part of the goodwill of the Israelis.
Absolutely. I've never seen a park specifically for handicapped children. It was amazing. And like I said, I'm putting together a video which is going to show that. Thank you for taking me there. This was the side of Israel that existed that I didn't know about. I would eventually find out about it, but I'm glad that you were able to show me that. So from taking care of the elderly, where many times in the States they're neglected. You know, one day you and I are going to be in that position. So it's good to be mindful and respectful of our elders. And When I look at the...
Look, we have a song that the world said, don't forget me when I be whole. Don't leave me. Stay with me.
Wow.
It's a very known song here in Israel. And I think that it's also said a lot of the way of thinking of the Israelians. And you know what? More than that, one word, together. When you are in the army, group 8, 9, 10 soldiers, most of the time, you must be sure that you can be, that your friend will do everything to help you.
Trust.
It's more than trust. And I think that, let's say trust is the correct word in marriage life, in the army life, in all the community. Trust. I can trust that when I be sick or if I be old, they don't throw me away.
Yeah.
They will take care of me.
Wow. Wow. It's very sobering. It's very sobering.
Yes.
Because when you, if you've ever spent, now have you been to the United States?
No, I've never been there.
If you spend any amount of time, people care. There's a lot of caring people. But especially in the bigger cities, it's very more difficult. Just like I had stated earlier, to see children walking down the street without an adult, grammar school children, like these girls here, you know? You just...
And it's not the same children that we saw a few hours ago.
Yeah, exactly. So you've done all this work for the military to help the lone soldiers, even to help soldiers whose families may not be in need or may not have everything, to be able to help their son or daughter. And I think it's fantastic because it helps them excel when they know they have that foundation.
Yeah. Look, as I told you, you asked me from where I get it, and I said to you, roots.
Roots, your roots.
Roots is something that you have to take with you and to give to your children. And they will take with them, and they will give to their children. And I think that if you will look back to the history of Israel, the Jewish, there's one word, roots, the Bible. I'm not religious.
Right.
I'm driving in Saturday and I make a fire. I'm eating only kosher. My wife, no. Because she learned from her mother that passed the Holocaust, that they eat what they have to eat, what they found.
Right.
If it's a pig or even a dog, to eat it to be survived.
That's a very good point.
And when we are going to the restaurant, I know that my wife eating a pig or shrimps, and okay, I order for her shrimps or what she wants, and I order for me, cow. And this is also the way to see the life.
Right.
Compromise.
Right.
You must compromise.
Right.
And when I compromise with my wife, with my children, with my friend, only good can be grow from this.
Absolutely.
This is my point of view on the life.
No, I emphasize this quite a bit. In certain areas, like Tel Aviv, it's not so much like Jerusalem, of course. But I tell people, you know what? Respect and honor God. If you ask, and I tell this to the soldiers a lot, listen, there's going to come a time in your life while you're in the military, you may be faced with great battles. You may be even faced with the point of death from the enemy. But if you look to God, if you cry out to Him, if you take His word and even hide it in your heart, you know, that will have a bigger impact on you by looking to Him.
So for this, we have the simplest sentence. Shna Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad.
Again.
And in a bad situation, you say it. And I think that He's hearing and help us.
You're right. And you show that, Shuggy, through just helping these soldiers. I can't even imagine, because I'm not a soldier, I'm not Jewish. But just to know that I have that helping hand. I've seen in a lot of those pictures, their faces. And that's got to be amazing when you lay your head down at night.
No, I'm so tired that I can't see. After a full day, sometimes my day is finishing 2 o'clock, and 3 o'clock. You asked me if I have enough time for my wife. You know, I used to have a big factory making machinery conveyors. But I take care every day around 5 o'clock to leave everything, to leave the factory, to take with me the paper that I have to work with them, come home to be with my children, to be with my wife, and then 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, they are going to sleep. The children in 7, 8 o'clock go to sleep, my wife 10 o'clock, and then I can work another 2-3 hours, all what I need to make the planets or what I need for the machinery,
right,
and to prepare it for tomorrow for the war. So if you
balance your time,
you can get everything.
You're right. That's a good way to look at it, because a lot of times we don't. A lot of times I know I do. I focus on my work and I don't get enough sleep at night. But I probably get 3 or 4 hours of sleep sometimes.
Okay, in my age, I need more than 3-4 hours. But let's say even from 12, 1 o'clock until 7, 8, to my happiness, what I'm doing now, I don't have to be at work before 9 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So I can sleep until 8, after 8, wake up, to drink my coffee in my garden, and then to go to work.
Nice. So, you know, you talked to some... Who were some of these fellows in the military that you spoke with? So you're going to take me on a trip.
Yes. He promised. And when he said something, again, all the day, they can leave.
Another phone call.
Hello. Is that on Israel?
That's fantastic. So...
Hi, Avi.
So his wife's going to come, and we're going to chat with her a little bit. And I'm excited because we're taking a trip.
He's the father of 2 soldiers that I helped him. He had a problem in the army, and I took him out from jail, and I put it in a good unit, and now he's a good soldier.
Good. That's awesome. So we're going on a trip.
We are talking about the area that's starting in Gaza, going through Mitzpe Ramon to Eilat. This officer is taking care for this area. I show you the TV movie about him.
Okay.
I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
It will be a wonderful day.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it, and I thank you. I'm very thankful that
you
for this opportunity.
You have to thank him.
So I'm glad that you're in deep with the military the way that you are, that these soldiers can get encouragement. And look, if someone wanted to send something from the States to a soldier, what would you suggest?
Look, it's depends. I tell you frankly, I prefer to get money. Because when I have money, I can buy exactly the things that the soldier
needs. That you need, yeah.
I tell you, I'm getting a lot of requests for sport shoes. I have to go with each soldier to the shop. They measure his foot. They give him exactly what he needs. Or
for shoes.
For example, clothes. I'm not giving to the soldier second-hand clothes.
Absolutely.
Only new.
Absolutely.
Furniture, yes, it can be a second hand, but only if it's in good position, in a good, it's looking good, I will give it to them. I have to buy frigidaires. I have to buy
microwaves.
Microwaves. I have to buy toasters. In Israel, it's very old. Ventilators. In the summer, in the winter,
coats.
Yes.
In the north, it gets really cold.
Yes. So, for me, it's better to get money. No, I'm not taking the money to me.
Right.
You know Yafa, she's the count of our good. She gave the money, and I said to her, okay, I'll tell you more than that. There is a very good, very big company here in Israel. They call it Home Center.
Home Center.
Home Center, the one of the managers there is a friend of me from the army. So when I need something, for example, clothes, I'm going to him and said, okay, hey, 800 shekels, are you crazy? I have only four. But okay, should we take it? He know that, he know my trick, he know what I'm saying, but he want to help me, he want to help to the soldiers. So he said to me, okay, Shuki, you can get it in 400 shekels. So when I have money, I can get more things.
You can get the good deals.
Yes.
And that's what's important.
Yes. Now, the question, and they're asking more and more and more and more. And one of the hard things is to getting the money.
Yeah, the economy's getting tough in a lot of places.
Yes. And I'm getting more and more requesting of food.
Food.
For families of the soldiers.
Yeah.
And even that we are sending, it's not enough. It's not enough. So the best thing for me is to get in money. Everyone that will agree to send us money, he can get a full report of every penny, what we buy, what we do, the name of the soldiers that get it, because we're taking care for this. It's very important for us that nobody can say a word about us. We are
right.
Not taking salaries. We are not taking for us nothing. I think that I'm taking out from my pocket every month for telephone, gas, for my car, things that I'm buying, something like dollars, $500, $600.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. So if someone wanted to make a donation towards the soldiers and helping them and their families that are not doing well, where would they send that to? Can they email me?
He can email it to you, and you will give it to me, or to direct to Yafa, the lady in the... or he can mail it to you, and I will tell you, okay, I'm going to buy that and that and that. Pay to them. I will send car of the army to take the closet, to take the washing machine, to take the refrigerator to the soldier house.
Okay.
That's what we usually do.
Now, my email address, just for the listeners, is michaelagano@gmail.com. If you feel the need, look, the Israelis are up against a lot. They've got all their borders covered with war. If it's not war, it's people that are calling for war to kill them. In America, you better wake up, because the problem is not anything else but the left and Islam. They work together in the States. They work together. The Saudis fund a lot of groups.
Can come to America also.
Can. You're right.
Come.
Because it's already happened.
We are the shields.
Yeah.
A lot of Americans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Shuki, thank you for your time. It goes by